ringing a bell. Go, go.
Remember that? Holy Toledo. Johnny B. Good. Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. And along with my buddy and my partner, Big Ed Davis, who, by the way, knows which buttons to push to keep the monitors and the computers and the sound and everything else important working on this program. He came in here. There was an old story about the guy that comes in with this huge machine. And it's not working, and he goes into the middle of the machine, and he turns a screw, and everything's working great, and he comes out, he says, that'll be $100,000. And they say to him, $100,000? You went in there, turned one screw. He said, it's not turning a screw, it's knowing which screw to turn.
In this case, it was called a power button.
I just didn't know that that little light was a button.
Well, you grab the screen there and turn the button.
I was shaking the screen, and I was about to throw it against the wall. Anyway, thank you for being with us. It is Friday, April the 28th, getting close to May, are we not? In a few minutes, Zach Smith of the Heritage Foundation is going to be here. We are going to talk about the ungodly presence of Chinese police stations in the United States. Did you ever think it would come to that? And for that matter, cop stations from China around the world. How did that ever get past our FBI and Justice Department? So we're going to talk about that. And will President Biden now agree to negotiate with Republicans on the debt ceiling bill now that it has finally passed Congress? The ball's in Biden's court, and he seems to be fumbling it. We're going to take a look. And speaking of Biden, his approval rating hits an all-time low right on the heels of his campaign launch for re-election. We're going to talk about that as well. And we have a good one in our Ultimate Top 10. Ed, you're going to like this one. The top 10 oldest pro athletes when they quit. Let's see if Ed knows any of them, all right? We'll find out about that a little bit later in the show. It's nice to see it's been raining around here.
Well, we got belted last night, didn't
I'm
we?
Glad wow. Are you not happy that we got
No,
it?
No. No, I don't like the extreme weather that goes with it.
Oh, you know, poor boy.
Well, I'm talking about the lightning and stuff. I don't like that.
Oh, poor boy.
Well, tornadoes up north.
Yeah, where was the tornado?
It was in the panhandle.
Was there one?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, we needed the rain desperately.
I know.
I mean, really bad. And we finally got some. I think we're going to get some more this
weekend.
Yeah,
people don't understand. We go through this lull before, you know, June and July, where it's daily at 5 o'clock.
I'm waiting for that again. Yeah. Actually, I'm looking forward to it, if you want to know the truth. Anyway, we got a lot to talk about here. So, after our show on Wednesday, the House was good enough to pass that debt ceiling bill. It delivered Kevin McCarthy, the Speaker of the House, his biggest win so far in his brief tenure as Speaker. And now the ball is in Biden's court. Now, the debt limit, we talked about that with one of our guests not long ago. They had to raise the amount of money we were able to spend to keep our government running, because we continue to spend more than we take in. Everybody knows that. Most people don't really care. Let's be honest, they don't care. But we are now in debt to around $32 trillion, and most people don't really care. They will eventually care, because at some point, the countries around the world will stop taking our money. It's usually the backup currency for the world. And as long as we continue to print money that has no backing, there's going to be a time when the value of that money is perceived as being much less than what we have gotten used to it's becoming. That's kind of what this is all about. So we got a debt limit bill that was passed. In return for raising the limit of debt that we can take on, we lowered upcoming spending. This is something that Biden hates. And he has said that because we will lower or have spending cuts in the future because of this, he will not allow, nor will he sign, the debt ceiling bill that the House has passed. If he does not sign the bill, it means that we are not able to pay all of our bills, and we will go into what's called default. I hope we go into default, and I'll tell you why. We will continue to send out Social Security checks and welfare checks and pay all of the main things that our government is supposed to be doing, the military expenses and the like. But we will have to stop paying and wasting money on some of the other things, the superfluous spending that we do. That's the stuff that will be stopped. So I don't mind if we go into default. If I were the Republicans, I would say to Biden, all right, we gave you a debt ceiling bill. You don't want to sign it. We're not going to negotiate with you. You keep insisting you will not negotiate with us. There's the bill. We've sent it over to the Senate. The Senate can work on it. But if you don't want to sign the bill because of spending cuts, then we will just stand here and let you default. Now, of course, the mainstream press will make it seem like it's the Republicans that are not allowing the debt ceiling bill to be raised, even though they passed a bill to raise the debt ceiling, right? They will blame Republicans, and they will not blame President Biden or the Democrats. And that's what the Democrats and Biden are counting on. So that's how that goes. It was a very narrow vote. The bill passed 217 to 215. Every Democrat voted against it, along with four Republicans. They included Matt Gaetz of Florida, who had some problem with some of the... most of these four Republicans basically said we didn't cut enough or that the cuts were phony. So that's why they decided not to sign it. But it's considered a victory for Kevin McCarthy. So we'll see where that goes. Okay, now, speaking of Biden and his refusal to sign that bill, his approval rating has hit an all-time low amid his reelection campaign launch. This is a new poll from Gallup. It says 37% of U.S. adults approve of Biden's job performance. That's the lowest of his tenure since July 2022, when it was a whopping 38% that approved of his job performance.
At what point do we stop taking a poll and just have the people in the back of the room stand up that are for Joe Biden?
Yeah, the three people that are in the back of the room. According to Gallup, his approval rating has hovered in the low 40s for the last 19 months. He was at a high, believe it or not, at one point, I can't believe it, of 57% at one point, right? That was immediately after he took office, before anybody knew what the hell he was going to not do.
Probably before his first nap of the afternoon, too.
So the most recent poll drops his average over the ninth quarter period of his presidency to below that of Trump. So you can no longer say that Trump had the lowest. Okay. It's now Biden. Former President Trump's lowest was 41.6%. Biden's 39.7% over the ninth quarter period of his presidency. Okay. 83% of Democrats, 31% of independents, and 4% of Republicans approve of his performance. The thing that's going to hurt him is that only 31% of independents approve of it. Even most Democrats don't think he should run again for president. So that's all you need to know about how popular and effective with the people, Joe Biden.
Other than a couple of dudes on a Thursday at 10 o'clock, I can't find people that actually think he's doing a swell job.
I've not spoken with anybody that will honestly say he's doing a fine job. And if you find somebody, they will normally start to backtrack rather quickly.
Yeah, well, I didn't vote for Biden. Yeah, I voted against Trump.
Yeah, well, and I think there's a lot of truth in that, by the way. Anyway, it is time for us to take our break. When we come back, I can't wait to talk with Zach Smith of the Heritage Foundation. Why in the hell do we have Chinese police stations in the United States?
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Berhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Berhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Ain't it good
to... This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Friday, and we thank you so very much for listening to us here on Freedom Works. And we are delighted to have Zach Smith back again. He is a legal fellow at the Mies Center for Legal Studies of the Heritage Foundation. He's written a piece for the Daily Signal. What are illegal Chinese communist government police stations doing in the U.S.? I can't believe that we are even going to talk about this. Zach, welcome back. What is going on here? How did China manage to put at least 7 police stations in the United States under the nose of the FBI and the Justice Department?
Well, thanks for having me back on to talk about this issue. And it's a great question. It's absolutely outrageous what's been happening, Paul. As you mentioned, there are at least 7 illegal Chinese police stations throughout the United States. I think we need more information about how these were established, how long many of these police stations have been in the United States. And the only reason this information is really coming to light now is because the Justice Department indicted 2 U.S. citizens who helped establish one of the illegal Chinese police stations in New York City. And if you read the facts of the indictment, if you read what the Chinese communist government was trying to accomplish, it's absolutely outrageous. It's clearly a violation of our national sovereignty. And this has to be one of the most brazen acts the Chinese communist government has taken in some time.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm wondering how they managed to do it, especially in the city of New York. What did they do? Did they lease a building, wander in there, and nobody knew that it was there? I guess they don't have a big sign on the front of the building that says Chinese police station.
Well, you would be surprised. There's actually a picture with several individuals in New York City at this illegal police station with a huge banner.
Really?
Sitting in front of a huge banner that basically says it's part of this municipal overseas Chinese police station.
But, go ahead.
But here's what they did, and it's actually very pernicious, is they established a cultural group. It was supposed to be a group that was there to serve the cultural interests and needs of certain Chinese citizens living within the United States, those of Chinese descent. And instead, the 2 citizens who were helping to establish this supposed cultural group were actually setting up, under that guise, an illegal overseas Chinese police station. And what the Chinese have been doing with these illegal overseas police stations, which, by the way, there are more than 100 of them in over 53 different countries, they're essentially using them to enforce their own edicts, to enforce their own laws, particularly against Chinese citizens overseas and dissidents who have fled from China. The Chinese government uses these outposts to try to harass those individuals, to try to force them to repatriate back to China, to intimidate and influence them. And it's just, it's outrageous from top to bottom. And I am glad to see that these two individuals in New York City have been indicted. But I think it's important for us to pay attention to the case, make sure that the Justice Department doesn't plead these individuals out, doesn't downgrade the charges, that they actually follow through and get convictions of these two U.S. citizens who were helping the Chinese government.
Well, this brings up to me, you know, a lot of worry. We've been worried about Biden and his treatment of China to begin with. We've been hearing about, you know, the payoffs through his son from China, and the fact that we have Chinese balloons flying over our country and recording our, you know, hovering over our military bases. We now have Chinese police stations that are floating around, and the Justice Department apparently was just either completely ignorant of them or was aware of them and allowed them. And then finally somebody speaks up, and then the FBI and the Justice Department decide that they're going to do something about it. But it smells fishy to me, Zach, to be honest with you.
Well, I think what this shows, Paul, is how aggressive, how brazen the communist Chinese government has become in trying to exert their influence across the world, but particularly within the United States. Not only do we know these illegal Chinese police stations exist, but don't forget, we know the Chinese government has been stealing our intellectual property for many, many years. We know that the Chinese government has been trying to infiltrate corporate America in many ways. And we know that the Chinese government has set up essentially intelligence gathering outposts on many of our nation's campuses under the guise of so-called cultural exchange programs and Confucius Institutes. But really, we are seeing time and time again that the Chinese government is intent on asserting its dominance throughout the world in trying to displace us, the United States, as the world's preeminent superpower. And this is really a very grave threat that all of us have to start taking much more seriously.
Christopher Wray, our FBI director, finally, he sounds like he's concerned. He's been in some of these hearings that he's been in, he's brought up the threat of China. Now, he's the only one that I'm hearing showing any real, unless I'm missing somebody, he's the only one that I'm hearing from the administration or in the executive department showing any kind of concern. Am I wrong about that?
Well, he should be showing concern. But look, here's what we do know, Paul. You know, under the Trump administration, Donald Trump, his attorney generals, they established the China Initiative. It was basically a concerted government-wide effort to root out improper Chinese influence within the United States, to hold people accountable if they were working on behalf of the Chinese government, not reporting it as they should. And this was a broad-based effort. Joe Biden, when he came into office, he stopped that. He basically said it was supposedly ineffective. He said it was xenophobic and, you know, other things of that nature. But I think the fact that under Joe Biden's watch, we had illegal Chinese police stations being established throughout the United States. It wasn't just in New York City. There were seven across the United States, including in places like Minnesota and Nebraska. Those aren't necessarily huge population centers. But it shows just how aggressive the Chinese have become and just how important it is for us to once again have a government-wide effort to push back against their efforts.
We're talking with Zach Smith. He is a legal fellow at the Mies Center for Legal Studies, and that's part of the Heritage Foundation. He's written a piece the other day in the Daily Signal, "What Are Illegal Chinese Communist Government Police Stations Doing in the U.S. So, Zach, is it true then that when Trump was president, none of these police stations were here in the U.S., or do we know?
Well, you know, it's hard to say. We don't know all of the information surrounding these other six police stations because they haven't been fully and publicly released. There haven't been criminal charges brought. But again, I think it's important to realize under Trump, you have the China Initiative, at least a full-throated government effort to combat this very type of influence. As far as I know, that no longer exists under the Biden administration.
Well, you're making a good point. If we take all of the things that are going on with China right now, we got the TikTok thing. We got the infiltration of our businesses. Like you said, the infiltration into our universities. We got the balloons hovering overhead. Now we got the police stations. At some point, and I think there are Democrats, in Congress at least, that are concerned about it. And at some point, do you think we're going to react and start pulling the plug on these things?
Well, we'll have to wait and see. But to tell you just how aggressive and how brazen the Chinese have become, after these two U.S. citizens in New York City were indicted for aiding the Chinese government, basically working on behalf of the Chinese government to set up the illegal police station there, the Chinese government had the audacity to lodge a formal complaint with the U.S. government, saying essentially these individuals were being treated unfairly, you know, this is a bunch of nonsense. Goodness. That's just how brazen they've become, Paul.
Yeah, it boggles my mind. Now, Biden has stepped up, and I don't know if he's going to hold true to it, but he has indicated that if China does something to Taiwan, that the United States will react. Now, I don't know that that's true. We've girded up some defensive agreements with Taiwan, to my understanding. A few of our politicians have ventured over to Taiwan, much to the chagrin of the Chinese mainland. And I'm just wondering if Taiwan can be confident that the United States would indeed help protect them in the event of an attack by mainland China.
Well, I think it's certainly within our national interest to make sure that the Chinese government does not exert its influence throughout the world. We've seen repeatedly when they've tried to cut off Taiwan before that the United States has responded appropriately, making clear that the Taiwan Strait and others are free for passage. But look, this is a concerted, consistent effort by the Chinese government to assert their dominance throughout the world, even within the United States, and that is something that is completely and absolutely unacceptable from top to bottom.
So we are somehow going to close these. What is the status of the six or seven Chinese police stations in our country right now? Have they been closed, or what's going on with them?
Well, again, we don't really know a lot of information beyond the one in New York City where the federal charges have been brought. But here's what's outrageous, Paul. I'll tell you. It's that we know the Chinese were trying to influence our elected officials, government officials. There are even pictures of Eric Adams and Chuck Schumer posing as the leaders of this illegal Chinese police station in New York City. But right now, under our current law, the Chinese government, they're allowed to lobby members of Congress. They're allowed to lobby state and local officials. That's not illegal. I think a good step that Congress should take is they should ban the ability of the Chinese Communist government to lobby our elected officials. They should not be able to lobby for policies that would benefit them at the expense of us as the United States.
Yeah, except that they are allowed to chauffeur Dianne Feinstein around, Chinese spies, and apparently sleep with people like Eric Swalwell, if I remember that correctly. So the Chinese, they're doing everything that they can do to infiltrate this country. So I would hope at some point we finally go, hey, you know, we got to do something about this. There's this, I guess they're also, the Chinese are relying on the idea that people will call us or America or our government racist if they were to go after these people?
Well, look, I don't know how it can be racist, Paul, just to report the facts. And everything that I've said here today is what we know is happening.
Oh, yeah, reporting is one
the
thing.
United States.
Right, reporting is one thing. If we were to act on them, if we were to close the police stations, if we were to get these people out of our country, what I'm saying is maybe China's relying on the fact that our media may say that what we are doing by trying to eliminate the Chinese presence here in that respect would be racist. That's all I'm saying.
Well, the only good thing is I think in this instance, the Chinese government may have overplayed its hand because everyone recognizes just how outrageous, what a blatant violation of our national sovereignty it is for them to have tried to do an end run around the normal diplomatic processes and establish these overseas police stations here in our own country.
Indeed. Well, Zach, it's a pleasure to have you on again. I'm so glad that you are covering this, and we've got to continue to expose what is going on. I mean, our country is just, I don't know what it is. I worry about just sitting back and allowing all of this to occur. So thank you for your vigilance, and thank you for being with us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Zach Smith. Very good. All right. We're going to take our break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about President Biden. By the way, Nikki Haley, she's running for president on the Republican side. She predicts that Biden will likely die within the next 5 years. We're going to talk about it.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hello there, Tampa Bay. This is former NFL and college football coach Jimmy Johnson. Listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can sure use the attention.
And this is former Major League Baseball player, Hall of Famer Wade Boggs. I also hope you listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can darn sure use the money.
Hi there. This is marine wildlife artist and conservationist Dr. Guy Harvey. Please listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They need to feel worthy.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Friday. And listen to this, Ed. You know, Nikki Haley was our ambassador to the United Nations at one point under Donald Trump. She is now a Republican presidential candidate, and she said the other day that President Biden, who will, by the way, he is now 80 years old, will likely die within 5 years.
He doesn't look a day over 95.
And that his supporters would have to count on Vice President Kamala Harris if he were to win re-election next year. He has already indicated that Kamala will be his vice presidential running mate. I wonder if she's sort of just kind of, what do you call someone that's waiting for somebody else to die, you know, and then read the will and all that kind of, you know what I mean?
Black Widow?
Yeah, sort of like the Black Widow. No offense.
Yeah,
with
well,
it, but I mean, kind
yeah,
of kind
being
waiting.
Racist, but it's a spider, okay?
It's like a spider.
Yeah.
And here's what she said. He announced that he's running again in 2024, and I think, this is Nikki Haley saying this, and I think that we can all be very clear and say with a matter of fact that if you vote for Joe Biden, you really are counting on a President Harris, because the idea that he would make it until 86, you know, in other words, till the end of that term, is not something that I think is likely. I don't mean to be laughing.
I honestly think with a year and a half to go, I think something, I mean, we saw a sign of it, was it yesterday when a little kid asked him, what was the last foreign country you
were
in?
I almost felt sorry for him.
And he couldn't.
He couldn't remember.
I've been to 80 countries. Well, which was the last one?
He stumbled around. He couldn't remember. Yeah.
I mean, he went home basically, didn't he? Went to Ireland or whatever.
He went to Ireland.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. He forgot himself. Then I think that same child asked him about how many daughters he has. He kind of got confused about that, too. Anyway, here's somebody that has very little confusion about him. He has been our eye in the northern sky. Angelo Ceresi from Rochester, New York, is back in the fold. He's decided to finally call in. Angelo, how are you?
Pretty good, Paul. How are you? How's everybody?
Well, everybody's doing well here. We're just worried about whether or not we're going to have a president croak in office if he runs again. I'm worried he might collapse before this term is over with.
Could very well happen. You never know. You know.
So how you been? What's going on?
Well, the weather's starting to break up here finally, you know. And we didn't really have that bad of a winter. Usually we get about 100 inches of snow.
Yes, that's
true.
We
only ended up with about 49 inches, yeah.
Wow. So, that is pretty good. You normally get 100.
Wow. Yeah, it averages out to like maybe 89, 90 sometimes, you know.
Well, we're just getting about ready next week to get into May. Has Rochester ever had snow in May?
Yes, we did. I think one time, if I remember correctly, it was like on Mother's Day, 1987.
Oh, what a horrible Mother's Day surprise.
Yep. In fact, our band, one time we were playing at the Lilac Festival, it was May 19th, and it was snowing.
May the 19th, and it was snowing? Wow.
It snowed, yeah. It was like that wet snow, but it was cold.
Now tell me again, what musical instrument do you play?
I play guitar.
Does your brother, Andrew, play the,
The accordion.
That's right. Both of those instruments, to be able to play them is terrific. But with an accordion, I've noticed you got to be able to kind of play a piano-like device on one side. You got buttons on the other side, and then you got to squeeze it at the same time. That's pretty... You have to multitask with an accordion.
He's pretty good on the accordion. I got to say that. He's very good on it.
No kidding.
He's very good.
Yeah.
Yep.
I remember Lawrence Welk, who used to play the accordion every once in a while when he was leading his band. Anyway, let's talk some politics. What's going on in New York with politics? Are they still... I haven't heard much about what New York is trying to do to Donald Trump with that payoff to that woman, but I guess that is still...
That's still ongoing.
Okay.
That's still ongoing. I guess they were having a trial, that woman. Back, it was 30, 40 years ago, all of a sudden now.
Well, he's got a second woman. There's a second woman now that's come out, right? I mean,
yeah.
We're talking about Stormy Daniels is the one that originally, and the payoff to Stormy. But now another woman has come out of the back alley to say that she was basically sexually assaulted as well or something.
Yeah.
So you got two things going on simultaneously there, right?
Yep. And then you also have that Alan Dragg, whatever his name is, the district attorney in New York City, you know, bringing charges against Trump. Bogus charges, you know?
Of course, that's the Stormy Daniels deal.
Yes.
Right. So you got two of those going on right now.
But these women, you know, what gets me is, how about that lady that was saying that she was assaulted by...
That's what I'm talking about. That's the second one.
Yeah, no, but I'm talking about, you know, when the Supreme Court nominee, what was his name?
Oh, not Gorsuch. Yes. Neil Gorsuch. Kavanaugh.
Kavanaugh. Justice Kavanaugh. And this lady said she was a drink, he spiked this and he spiked that. But... And she couldn't recall the address, she couldn't recall the date or anything like that. You know, I mean, the Democrats do the same thing, and this is their modus operandi, the way they do things. They must pay these people, these women, to say this stuff.
Well,
I mean, 30, 40 years later? Come on.
They are going after some of the conservative justices. I believe Neil Gorsuch has been... accused of some sort of financial irregularity. And then you got Clarence Thomas, who is a conservative black justice and also the longest-serving justice on the Supreme Court. They're going after him for his longtime friendship, association with a guy that will have Thomas come to his places that he owned and stay with him.
Right. Well, how about Clinton going to that island there, the Love Island, whatever they call it?
Oh, you mean the Bahamas? You know? The Bahamian Island, I think you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yes.
But, the Democrats are going after all these justices. They're trying to get these, they want to impeach these people so they can get Biden to put in Supreme Court justices. That's all they're doing. And the American public had better wake up what they're doing.
I don't think any of these charges against any of these justices are going to go anywhere. I mean, I think the justices are going to be just fine. There's nothing to them. And for every conservative justice that they can point fingers at, you can point fingers at some of the liberal justices and the things that they got away with as well.
Right.
In fact, I think, if I'm not mistaken, Breyer, who just recently... retired from the Supreme Court, Stephen Breyer. He had an even longer relationship with somebody with a lot of money. So, I mean, I don't know why people don't see through this, you know?
Yeah, well, how about Tucker Carlson? Whatever happened to the freedom of speech?
Tucker Carlson, let me ask you about that. First of all, Angelo, were you a Tucker Carlson devotee?
Yes, I just watch Fox News. I don't watch ABC, CBS, or NBC because,
But did you...
Fox News was the only one. I like Tucker Carlson. He told me like it was.
Mm-hmm. I remember, I didn't watch every show, but I do remember that he was discussing the January 6th so-called insurrection. I don't think... A lot of people would call it an insurrection. It was a break-in at the Capitol by a bunch of yahoos that just wandered around. Weren't trying to hurt anybody. They just wandered around and shook their banners and things like that. But anyway, there was a guy, a policeman, a security guard or something, a Capitol policeman. He didn't die there, but then he suffered a heart attack a few days later. They tried to pin.
Right.
They tried to pin it on the people that broke into the. The Capitol building.
But you never hear about the officer that shot the woman.
Correct. But I was going to say...
You never hear that.
But my point in bringing it up is that Tucker Carlson had videotape of that particular Capitol policeman wandering around looking perfectly fit and not at all put upon while he was talking with people that had walked into the Capitol building.
The only ones that were jubilant over Tucker being fired was the hens on The View.
Oh, yes.
Other than that, I don't think Dems can be real happy or pound their chest because it was kind of a whitewash there or a wishwash because on the other side, CNN's Don Lemon got fired, too. So basically, both front runners kind of got let go. So
true. Yeah, and so it kind of killed the thunder of the left. To talk about Tucker Carlson and when Don Lemon gets axed.
Tucker gets whacked only days after the settlement.
Yes, indeed.
I do believe that was part of it.
Right? Of course it was. What? What'd you say?
I think Dan Bongino, too. Dan Bongino, didn't they let him go?
Well, no, he didn't get a contract that he wanted.
That was some time back. Dan Bongino, Dan Bongino was not a regular show... like Tucker was. Tucker had his own show. Bongino was what they call a contributor. And he would pop up every once. I think for a while he did have a show, but he was more in the background kind of a guy. So, yeah. Yeah, I mean, do you think Tucker Carlson will end up at Newsmax or some other place?
I'm hoping, because, the thing is, if I was working there, I would have told everybody, all the way from Hannity, all the way to Laura Ingraham and Gutfeld, with all that stuff happening, walk off their jobs. What was Fox News going to do, fire them all?
Well, I don't think they're about to do that. It's every man for himself. In the business of talk radio and talk TV and news and everything, it's every man for himself or herself. And... all we have to do is look at some of the other people, the Megyn Kellys that were let go, and
right.
or the
O'Reilly.
Bill O'Reilly, everybody else stayed where they were. They might have been upset, but I did notice, and you can comment on this, Angelo, that Fox News kind of kept their lips zipped after Tucker Carlson was let go. I think probably because from on high of the corporate, they said, we just got past the suit, and they're still, you know, we're still in that environment, so we don't want to, let's not talk about this. One of the deals is we don't want to get into this too much.
Yeah, the ink isn't even dry yet.
That's right. Yeah. Right.
Well, you know, they talk about that Dominion voting machine, the lawsuit that they're suing for $1 billion for defamation of character and this and that, all this other stuff. What about CBS, NBC, ABC, all the stuff that they have lied about, right? The collusion, the Russian collusion, the letter that was drafted by that guy Jenkins, that the 51 people from the Central Intelligence Agency or whatever said that the laptop for Hunter Biden was bogus,
right.
and this and that.
You know, Biden himself said Biden himself said that very statement while he, if you recall, when he was running against Trump. In 2016,
right.
he brought up, and the 51 FBI have debunked this. Here was Biden knowing full well that computer belonged to his son, and he said that.
But the thing is, the news outlets went along with it. They
yes.
kept saying, well, you know, they're supposedly lied, right?
That's right.
And yet nobody has taken them to court for defamation of character or anything like that. Right? How is it? Whatever happened to the freedom of speech?
No, I think
if they were saying that, you know, if they're saying that the Dominion voting machines were this and that, well, that's freedom of speech, just like the other news agencies mm-hmm. say, you know?
Right, you are.
But yet, Fox gets news. I mean, gets you know, gets sued. How's that happen?
Right. I mean, I am still not absolutely convinced that mail-in voting produce an honest election. If you want to know the truth, too many hands are handling my ballot if I'm mailing it in before it gets to the
right.
person that's supposed to be counting it. So we've been talking about this many times on our show. Let's go back to the, you know, same day precinct voting. As much as people don't want to get up and go and vote once every 4 years for president, I think that's what we ought to do.
Well, they should have, you know, they made Juneteenth a national holiday, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they should make voting day, you know, a national holiday. That's it. On November, the first Tuesday, November is a national holiday.
I'm a traditionalist. I don't think you have to do that either. I think people will always... How did we do it all of these years before mail-in voting? It worked fine.
You have to remember,
we elected everybody, and everybody felt we had honest elections.
You have to remember, when you create a holiday that's a government shutdown and it costs the government money, and then they don't have money for studies like the study of fish swimming upstream or spiders laying eggs. You know, then they don't have the money for that.
Spiders swimming upstream and fish laying eggs.
Yes.
Well, listen, Angel, thank you for calling in, buddy. Maybe we'll get back to our regular Monday call-ins or something once everything is settled down, you know. But you're always welcome. And thank you very much for your time this morning with us.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Always our pleasure. Thanks, Angelo. All right. Angelo, our eye in the northern sky. Let's take a quick break, Ed. Quick break. When we come back, talk a little bit of sports. And then, speaking of sports, the top 10 oldest pro athletes when they quit.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on Freedom Works. And by the way, we are here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Tan Talk Radio Network. If you cannot listen live, Big Ed puts all our shows on podcast. Therefore, go to our website at your leisure, OurFreedomWorks.com. OurFreedomWorks.com. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Click on the podcast button at the top. Ed's got all our shows. You'll know the guest and the top 10. So there you go. All right, Ed. Before we get to the top 10 oldest pro athletes when they quit, let's talk a little hockey and baseball here in Tampa Bay. Our beloved Tampa Bay Lightning held on last night in Toronto to win the game and save themselves from being eliminated in the first round.
So I had three screens on last night. I had the Rays, the Lightning, and the NFL draft.
Oh, that's right. And
the Lightning was just... What was it, 3-1, and then it was 3-2, and I'm thinking, don't do this again.
I know.
They got out of there with the win. Now they come back here, and they'll play Saturday night, and we'll see.
Yeah, you know? Exactly right.
You got to win them all.
Okay, let's go.
Then the Rays and your beloved White Sox. The Rays beat them by a touchdown and a two-point conversion.
Did they play the Sox, White Sox again?
Yeah, they're in Chicago.
Oh, now they're slapping them around in Chicago.
Game time temperature last night was 54 degrees.
I'm not surprised.
And they beat them 14-5.
Wow. Wow.
So we've got it figured out. All we have to do is play the White Sox.
The White Sox all the time.
All the time.
Yeah. No, they've been slapping the White Sox around for some time, but they've been doing very well, and so much love to them. Let's finally get... and see how it affected our beloved Tampa Bay Buccaneer football team, the NFL draft. How did that go?
Bucs picked up a defensive tackle, no big name because they didn't pick until number 19. The draft just went pretty much as. But the spectacle that the draft has become. You remember the old days when Pete Rozelle would just walk up and call out the name and you just hear a few groans
right.
from maybe a couple people on the balcony or on the second floor.
And they wouldn't have this, everybody come to the dais.
They were in Kansas City out in a park and there had to be 100,000 people there.
Unbelievable.
It's
really become an event itself.
Here's what I think they should do because they keep moving it. I think if you win the Super Bowl, you get the draft. Now, it happened last night, and it'll happen this weekend because Kansas City won the Super Bowl, and the draft is there.
So you mean it should be held there?
I think that'd be an added bonus, wouldn't it? If you win a Super Bowl, you get the draft at your state or whatever.
I think it's a big pain in the rear end, but maybe so.
It's a big draw. It's a lot of money. A lot of out-of-towners.
Real quickly, do you think that Aaron Rodgers still has enough to make the New York Jets a viable playoff contender?
It depends on what they put around him. I think where he's going, he has a little more talent than he had in Green Bay, so I think they'll do well. I think they're a ten win team.
Is he in his 40s?
No, he's 30. Actually, I think he's 39. Just turned 39.
Just turned 39. Yeah. Okay, all right. Time for our top.
Tom Brady would say he's just a kid.
Just a kid. He certainly would. Okay, it's time for our top 10. You got to get over on the drums, Ed. These are the top 10 oldest pro athletes when they quit. And by the way, I got this from the website oldest.org.
Okay.
So here we go. Number 10, Saul Mamby. Now, I know you don't know who he is, but he was a boxer that continued to box until he was 60.
Wow.
He retired in 2008.
Jeez.
He's an American. Okay? So that's all you got to know about him. Number 9, Skip Hall. Skip Hall was a martial arts expert. He continued to practice it professionally till 64. He's an American. He retired in 2008. Number eight, John McGowan, who was, they put this in sports, he was a darts, an international darts player.
Imagine the rigorous training for that.
Indeed. You got to get that arm and wrist, you know. You got to keep it young.
You don't spill the beer in the other hand.
That's correct. He retired at the age of 72. He threw his last dart. It went through the referee's head. That's why he quit.
Here goes the run through golfers.
And
he was
from Northern Ireland. He retired 2013. Number seven. Raja Singh, 72, cricket player.
Cricket.
From India. Can you imagine him trying to run back and forth after he hits the cricket ball? He retired in 1950. A long time ago. Number six. You'll hear, you know this one, Gary Player. Gary Player, from South Africa, continued to play professionally on the professional circuit until the age of 73.
Professional what?
Golf.
Yeah. I just said that. Here comes a run of golfers.
Number five. I've got to read this one. Exeldon Bahadur. He was an association football player. It's like soccer in Egypt. He continued to play until he was 74. Mm. He kicked the referee in the head and they threw him out for the last time. 2020 is when he retired. Number four. Fred Davis. He was a snooker player. He's an American.
Snooker?
He continued to snook until he was 79, and that was in 1993. Number three. I remember this guy, Carmen Salvino. He was a bowler. He continued to bowl professionally until he was 86.
Okay, yeah.
86. And he quit in 2020. Number two. Soboslaw Zasada. And don't try to say that three times. He was an auto racer from Poland. Guess how old he was? Still driving in the track. 91. 91.
You can jump on US 19 and find that all over the place.
That's right.
In March.
He retired in 2021. You don't know this person. You have no idea who it is. But I want you to guess what the sport was.
I don't know.
Well, I know you don't
golf.
Know.
Golf? This is number one, right?
This is number one. You're going to be blown away. I mean it. You're going to be blown away.
It's got to be something. Well, what is it, like curling or something?
No, quite the opposite. Track and field.
Oh, come on.
Track and field.
All right.
Stanislaw Kowalski. Oh, yeah, go ahead. Stanislaw Kowalski, track and field from Poland, continued to run professionally until he was 111. 111.
What division was he in? The Walkers and Canes division?
And he retired in 2022. He didn't retire. He fell over and never moved again.
How could they tell?
111. Isn't that amazing?
Jeez.
Okay. Anyway, thank you so very much for being with us. Have a great weekend. Drive safely and remember, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.
And a happy Friday, Tampa Bay. Big Ed here on the Tan Talk Radio Network. Let's take a look at your Bay Area forecast. After a very rainy night last night, the rain continues this afternoon. High of only 81 degrees, 70% chance of rain. Overnight low tonight, 72. Tomorrow's rain chances continue at 60%, high of 84 degrees. Sunset tonight is at 8:03. Have a good weekend, everybody. Now here's the latest of CBS News.
Is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Steve Kathan. New scenes of carnage in Ukraine. Stepped up Russian missile drone attacks. The